right, and we're back again for another episode of Sonic Reformation. I am Britt Watson, and along with me is Paul Smith. Paul, how's it going, man?
It's going pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, it's good. It's good for a Monday, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying the weather today. It was kind of rainy and nasty down here over the weekend, so it's clear skies and it's nice outside right now.
So this is going to sound weird. I mean, we had the same weather up here, and we're probably about, how many miles apart are we, Paul?
About 130, somewhere around about there.
Okay. Is it kind of cool where you are today?
I think it was like 76.
Okay.
Somewhere around in there.
This may be boring, you guys. We're sitting here talking about the weather, but man, for Tennessee on May 13th, it was a little chilly today. I mean, not anything ridiculous. I mean, it was probably in the low 60s, but there was this breeze that was just constantly blowing. And I stepped outside this morning and I was like, whoa, this isn't what I expected, but it feels great. I'm not complaining. Promise, I'm not complaining. But we are here for another episode of Sonic Reformation. And of course, what is Sonic Reformation? We are a podcast that digs into polemics. And what is polemics? Polemics is the study, or actually, I shouldn't say the study. I'm going to take that back. Polemics is critiquing inside the Christian faith. Taking something that someone else may be saying who is a believer, and if what they are saying is going against the Word of God, then we are to call them out. So we are being polemical when we do this podcast, when Paul and I get together and we talk about certain teachers, preachers, pastors, however you want to define it. But when we get together, we are doing a polemical show, which means we are calling out the ones with inside the faith. Now, some people ask, well, what's the difference between polemics and apologetics? Apologetics, apologetics is when Christians defend against other faiths. So anything outside the Christian faith is a Christian standing up for that faith, for the Christian faith, sorry, and they're arguing against either other beliefs or the so-called atheist agnostic camp. But polemics, again, is where we critique with inside the Christian faith, calling out sometimes brothers and sisters in Christ and other times calling out false brothers and sisters in Christ. But that's what we do here. So it's a show that's not going to be politically correct. And if you are a weak, soft, effeminate man, you probably don't want to listen to this show. Or if you are a lady who is easily offended, you may just want to go ahead and stop it now. But what we're doing is biblical. We are called to do this by way of Christ, by way of the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. One of the examples that we are given is the Apostle Paul when he goes to Berea. He goes in there and he tells them the story of Christ. The Bereans look at the Apostle Paul and they tell him, hey, go away for a little while. Let us take what it is that you're saying and compare it to the Word of God. And of course, then what did they have? They had the Old Testament. So they took the Old Testament, compared what it was that Paul was telling them about the Messiah. They can, you know, lined it up against the Word. And they eventually called Paul back and said, you know what? We want to hear more about this. It sounds like you are a true, legitimate teacher. So teach us, brother. So that's what we are doing here. We want to be like the Bereans and call out the false teachers, or at least the teachers who are teaching something that does not line up with the Word of God. Again, not politically correct. But Paul, you got anything to add to that?
I think you did a pretty good job of explaining that. So no, I hadn't got anything to add to it.
Man, it sounded like a long rambling to me. But one of the things that we're going to be looking at tonight is the Southern Baptist all-time favorite woman preacher. And if you're scratching your head, that probably means that you're not up to date on Lifeway's golden girl, we'll call her also. But that would be Beth Moore. Beth Moore teaches and preaches on Sunday mornings inside SBC churches. Well, I should just say Southern Baptist churches. anytime you say the SBC, it kind of refers to the Southern Baptist Convention. But I'm going to say the Southern Baptist Churches. Beth Moore teaches on Sundays in Southern Baptist Churches. She teaches on Sundays in other denominations also. Beth Moore appears often on TBN, which I believe is a broadcast, supposedly a Christian broadcast network. The T stands for Trinity Broadcast Network, but it is a network that is full of heretics, and one that I wish the body of Christ would come together on just so they could get it removed from the air, because it's just a horrible network. There's no other way around it. But Beth Moore does appear on that network as well. So let me do this first. So there's two things that we need to define when it comes to women preaching, and especially this day and age where everyone's a nut job when it comes to, gender neutrality, the women's rights. And here, listen to me what I'm saying, and I'm going to back this up with scripture. We, as complementarianists, let me just go ahead and explain complementarianism. And I'm going to do this right here from Theopedia. Complementarianism is the theological view that although men and women are created equal in their being and personhood, they are created to complement each other via different roles and responsibilities as manifested in marriage, family life, religious leadership, and elsewhere. It is rooted in more literal interpretations of the creation account and the roles of men and women presented in Scripture. It is also known as the traditionalist view, and though the notion is found in other religions, this article, which I'm reading, focuses on how certain Christian groups understand their theology to require a complementarian view of gender. Goes on to say, among evangelicals, particularly in the last few decades, two rather different paradigms concerning roles of men and women presented in Scripture have emerged. One is evangelical, and this is, so we got complementarianism. That's what I just described. So the very, the other side of the coin, I guess I could put it that way, is egalitarianism. So egalitarianism reads like this. Egalitarianism within Christianity is a movement based on the theological view that not only are all people equal before God in their personhood, but there are no gender-based limitations of what functions or roles each can fulfill in the home, the church, and the society. It is sometimes referred to as biblical equality. Egalitarians understand the Bible as teaching the fundamental equality of women and men of all racial and ethnic groups, all economic classes, and all age groups based on the teachings and example of Jesus Christ. It should not be confused with secular, political, or economic social egalitarianism. So those are the two dynamics there. So let me go about this again. One, the first one I just talked about, complementarianism, which holds the theological view that although men and women are created equal in their being and personhood, they are created to complement each other via different roles in life and in the church. Again, egalitarianism, just so we got this clear, within Christianity is a movement based on the theological view that not only are all people equal before God in their personhood, but there are no gender-based limitations of what functions or roles each can fulfill in the home, the church, and the society. So complementarianism, which is what we hold to, and then you have egalitarianism, which is more of the liberal viewpoint. However, what we are seeing today is that liberal viewpoint of egalitarianism has invaded some of the most conservative churches, which leads us back to Beth Moore inside the Southern Baptist Church and what has actually taken place with her preaching, teaching on Sunday mornings. I don't know if she's done Wednesday nights, but she is loved by so many. Paul, do you have anything to add?
No, I think it was a good definition of both. And I would say in the Reformed Church that complementarianism is exactly what we would hold to. And like you said before, the more liberal churches would hold to a
egalitarianism. It's a tough word, man. I've been practicing it all day.
I'm actually glad that you brought that up. And I was thinking about it earlier when you had said something about talking about Beth Moore, and I figured it was going to come up because those are two words or two terms that are used a lot in this discussion.
Yeah. And this is what's so concerning today is, again, the SBC, we know back in the early 80s, was heading down that road of liberalism. And it was for a certain group of men. I think one of those men was Charles Stanley. I believe Herschel Hobbes was involved. I may need to be corrected on that. But I believe Charles Stanley, Herschel Hobbes, and I'm sure I'm leaving out some, maybe even Adrian Rogers, they were part of the men who stood up for the conservative views in the SBC and ended up...
Would it be wrong to throw Al Mohler in with that group?
No, I don't think so. And I think Mohler was a bit younger during that time when it was coming on. But I know that if I'm not mistaken, he was in seminary and was probably definitely involved with that. Now, one of the things that Albert Mohler has done since then, it has held strong probably up until the last, well, whenever Russell Moore got involved, I think that's where you started seeing him sliding a bit. But Al Mohler throughout the late 80s, the 90s, and probably all the way up until about 2010, 12, something along those lines, he's been one of the guys that's held strong to the conservative view and holding to the inerrancy of scripture when it comes to the SBC, because like I said, in the early 80s, man, it was taking a hard liberal turn. And, there were some men that God ordained to stand up for the truth. And that's what took place. But what we're seeing now inside the Southern Baptist Convention, where many big name folks have said that they would vote for Beth Moore to be the president of the SBC. And to me, we're almost seeing now what almost took place in the early 80s, except now I don't see anyone standing up for the conservative position like they did back in the early 80s. And like I'm saying, or like we're saying, Beth Moore is a prime example of this. And it's scary, to be honest with you. I mean, one of the things that if you go to Pulpit and Pen, they did an article. And let's see, what is today? Today the 13th. This article came out on May the 10th. And it starts out, this was written by Seth Dunn. But it says here, in the last 40 years, there have been 2,080 Sundays. Barring as some providential hindrance, a Christian who has been alive during that time period should have found herself in a church service on each of those 2,080 Lord's Day. In every one of those 2,080 services, a male should have been performing the task of preaching to the congregation. Southern Baptist darling Beth Moore, by her own admission, found herself usurping the role of the male 15 times during the last 2,080 Sundays and preaching from the pulpit of a Southern Baptist church. This Sunday, Mother's Day, in what discernment blogger Michelle Leslie calls the mother of all rebellions. And Beth Moore, so I'm going to go to her Twitter account. And this was, I guess, tweeted
Is that right?
Tweeted on May the 9th, 2019. And there was a tweet. Let's see. No, you know what? I'm going to back up. I'm going to back up just a second before I go into here. I'm going to go. Let's see here. What do I do with it? Well, Brit. Oh, I know what I did with it. Hang on 1 second. I need music for when I don't have everything right in front of me.
Yeah. You know? The Jeopardy music that they played while they was waiting on to answer the question.
Yes, yes. All right. So this is from Relevant Magazine. And I'll get back to Seth Dunn because I think we need to have these Twitter exchanges before it's going to make sense. So I apologize about that. But in Relevant Magazine, it says Beth Moore takes a theologian to task about why women can and should preach in church. She says here, I have loved the SBC and served it with everything I've had since I was 12 years old. And this is how I'm serving it right now. So Beth Moore remains one of the most forceful and fearless Christian leaders in the game. This is Relevant Magazine saying this, which is a liberal Christian magazine. I don't agree with that statement at all, but Relevant goes on and says, and she recently stoked the fires of controversy by expressing again her longtime opposition to sexism in the church. Paul, when the scripture forbids a woman to preach, or when it says that a woman should remain quiet, and I'm paraphrasing, and should learn from her husband, does that sound like sexism to you, or am I just being way too sensitive?
No, it's definitely not that. I mean, it goes along with the other things that you know, the law of God is one that as a believer that we bend a knee to, and that these things the scripture talks about, and I'm going to paraphrase too, that the laws become not grievous to us because out of love, in other words, the scripture says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So these things we do willingly, but still, as long as we're going to be, you know, walking on this earth in the flesh, we are going to struggle with these things, and people tend to want to do the things that they want to do, and so they're going to justify their sin in order to continue to walk in that sin. And that's exactly what Beth Moore is doing with this particular sin, is, and she's been called out several times because she's mocking what scripture says.
Yeah, I agree.
And so it's definitely hadn't got anything to do with the sexist that you were talking about, but it goes back to the complementarianism that we hold to, where God has laid out this, I don't say order is the right word, but it's the way that he wants things done.
Right. Right. So if I go to 1 Timothy 2:12 and it states, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, rather she is to remain quiet. Am I somehow exegeting that incorrectly? I mean, am I pulling that out of context? Because to me, it reads pretty straightforward.
But yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And I'm going to go to another one, 1 Corinthians 14:33-35. It says, as in all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Now, I see nowhere in those few verses that I just read through that says unless a woman is called to preach. I just don't see that. But I digress, and I'll go back to the article in Relevant Magazine, and we shall finish this bad boy. All right, so it says, and her longtime opposition to sexism in the church, particularly when it comes to women not being allowed to preach. Go to those scripture verses that I just read. Her claim was taken to task by author and theologian Owen. Man, this is awful. I should be able to pronounce his last name, but I don't know if it's Strachan or we're going to say that. And if I need to apologize, then I apologize. So Owen Strachan, who wrote on Twitter that women do not preach on Sunday to the church, we will not capitulate here. It goes on to say Moore responded to Strachan on Twitter. So I'm going to read his quote again. Owen Strachan, complementarians disagree cheerfully about much. One thing we have massive agreement on, women do not preach on Sunday to the church. Doing so is functional egalitarianism. We will not capitulate here. Beth Moore responds, Owen, I'm going to say this with as much respect and as much self-restraint as I can possibly muster. I would be terrified to be a woman you would approve of, and I would have wasted 40 years of my life encouraging women to come to know and love Jesus through the study of Scripture. Moore expanded on this thought in a longer tweet thread shown below, so she continues, I want to stoke the fire I'm in the middle of right now about as much as I want to amputate my toes without anesthesia. I'd much prefer to change the subject and move on and ignore the fury. I also want my family to have relief, but after intense prayer, I need to say a few things. Continuing, the first one is that I have a very active daily practice of repentance. I never have nothing to repent of. You need not worry if I'm aware of my own sins, flaws, and weaknesses. I am. You can know I'm hashing out things on my face, on the floor, before God every day. That said, she's continuing, I am compelled to my bones by the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be, but I am, to draw attention to the sexism and misogyny that is rampant in segments of the SBC, cloaked by piety and bearing the stench of hypocrisy. There are countless godly conservative complementarians. So many. Wait a minute, that's weird. Oh, that's strange how that cut off there. So anyway, let me continue. She says, there are countless conservative complementarians I have very much respect and deeply love, even though I may not fully understand their interpretations of certain scriptures as the end of the matter. I love the scriptures. I love Jesus. I do not ignore 1 Timothy or 1 Corinthians. Well, I just read 1 Timothy. And I also read 1 Corinthians, and they're really straightforward. She goes on to say, what I plead for is to grapple with the entire text from Matthew 1 through Revelation 22 on every matter concerning women, to grapple with Paul's words in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians as being authoritative. God breathed alongside other words Paul wrote, equally inspired, and makes sense of the many women he served alongside. Above all else, we must search the attitudes and practices of Christ Jesus himself toward women. He is our Lord. He had women followers, evangelists. The point of all sanctification and obedience is toward being conformed to his image, all caps there. I do not see one glimpse of Christ in this sexism. Here's what you don't understand. I have loved the SBC and served it with everything I've had since I was 12 years old, helping with Vacation Bible School alongside any other denomination. I will serve it to my death if it will have me, and this is how I'm serving right now. I'm going to do this one more time. Sorry about that. My head just banged into the mic. I didn't know it was that close when I turned. 1 Timothy 2:12. I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. 1 Corinthians 14:33-35. As in all the churches of the saints, all the churches of the saints, all the churches of the saints, the women should keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but should be in submission. As the law also says, if there is anything they desire to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak in church. Paul, what am I missing?
I have no idea. Okay, the last bit that you read there, because I'm reading it along, and I think it seems like to me that you're either didn't hear you say, or you're missing two threads in that.
Correct me.
That you were reading.
Okay.
Where did you stop reading?
The last one that I read, and again, I've got this from Relevant Magazine. And the last one I read was the one where she states, here's what you don't understand. I have loved the SBC and served it with everything I've had since I was 12 years old, helping with Vacation Bible School alongside any other denomination. I will serve it to my death and will, if it will have me. And this is how I'm serving it right now. That was the last one I read.
So they, I think they skipped. Did you read this where it says above all else, we must search attitudes and practices of Christ?
I don't think so. I think the one that, wait, go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read it.
It says above all else, we must search the attitudes and practices of Christ. Jesus himself towards women, he is our Lord. He had women followers, evangelists.
Yeah.
The point of all sanctification. Did you read that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. And it says, I had an eye-opening experience of my life in 2016.
I did not read that one.
A fog cleared for me. That was the most disturbing, terrifying thing I'd ever seen. All these years I've given the benefit of the doubt to these that these men were the way, that's weird. These men were the way that they were because they were, good night, trying to be obedient to scriptures. But then I realized it was not over scripture at all. It was over sin. It was over power. It was over misogyny, sexism. It was about arrogance, about protecting systems. It involved covering abuses and misuses of power, shepherds guarding other shepherds instead of guarding the sheep.
Yeah, I did not read that one.
So those were two that was left out, and then it picks up here. Here's what you don't understand. I have loved the SBC. So that article left out those two tweets for whatever reason.
Wow. You know, and I don't know. I'm not sure what she does when it is strictly laid out that pastors are to be men who have been tested, approved, and qualified according to the scripture. I mean, when you look at the qualifications of an elder, it specifically says men, husband of one wife. That right there in and of itself negates a woman holding the role of an elder. And let me see how I'm trying to word this. When it comes to the job of an elder, one of the jobs that an elder holds to is that of teaching and preaching. Now, when one teaches and preaches before the body of Christ, they are preaching and teaching to what? A mixed congregation, men and women. And what does it say? That women are not to have authority over men. And when you preach the word of God, that is the most authoritative thing that you can ever do. The most authoritative thing you can ever do. And the scripture strictly forbids a woman to do that.
Well, doesn't it even go against the SBC? Because they don't allow women to preach. So she's actually doing something within her own camp there that's not allowed.
Right, right. That is correct. I mean, and this is why I'm not part of the SBC. This is why I would never, as a church pastor, a church elder, another reason why the elders of Christ Reformed Church, the church that I pastor at, would never be part of the SBC is because we'd never send them money, not only because of the whole Russell Moore thing, which is a totally different topic, but we have men in the SBC who are not standing up to Beth Moore. I mean, she has conferences on TV, and you sit there and you can look out in the crowd and there's men in the conferences. When she's on TBN teaching a Bible study, there are men inside the Bible study. And I'm like, now granted, the SBC, it's just a convention. I mean, it's where other churches, if they give their money, they can send a representative to go there and vote on certain topics. But at the same time, you would think that they could come together as a body in some way, shape, or form and call this kind of nonsense out. But that's not what we're getting. I mean, we're not getting any of that from the higher ups inside the SBC.
Well, I think if we pay attention and, you know, and really and truly, I think it's something that is going to happen, but I think that you're going to see a split in the SBC because they got so many other issues going on. You know, not just this one. This one just adds to it.
Yeah, it's a. So in the article that in Reformation Charlotte, and this is by Jeff Maples. He has, and this was from February 22nd, and this came out. No women, you are not called to preach. Let me see. Let me get down to this. Here it is. I'm going to read this paragraph and the next one. So unsurprisingly, women who usurp the authority of male leadership by preaching or teaching in the church are false teachers. Aside from the fact that they teach falsely on women preachers, many are wrapped up in prosperity theology, like Joyce Meyer, Christine Kane, claim extra-biblical revelations like Beth Moore, who said God gave her a vision of him uniting Catholics and Protestants. They romanticize their relationship with God, like Anne Voskamp, who says she flew to Paris to make love to God, or promote various other heresies such as LGBT inclusiveness, like Jen Hatmaker. And even if you do rarely see a lady preacher who seems solid, she's still a false teacher on the premise that she's not allowed to preach. Now, here's the part that I was wanting to get to, because here comes some of the SBC guys right here. So why do women do this? Apart from the fact that a growing number of male leaders in the church, the SBC church, like Matt Chandler, J.D. Greer, who is the president of the SBC right now, etc., are becoming new complementarians. Example given is really they're egalitarians and are too afraid of women to speak up. More than that, it's because these women hate their God-given role as a submissive servants in the church. I mean, he goes on to say that you will never hear Beth Moore preach on that verse, which he's referring to 1 Corinthians 14:33-35. And he goes on to say, you will never hear Christine Kane preach on that verse. You will never hear Priscilla Shire preach on that verse. And he goes on, why? Because they hate it. They are in rebellion against God and hate what God has designed them to do. Women are not called to preach, but the new feminist movement has mainstreamed this notion. But he goes on to say, however, men, you are just as guilty of this sin when you enable it. And I completely agree with him. Wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. And I would go so far as to say that if I were attending a church that was allowing Beth Moore Bible studies to be taught, I would go to the pastor of the church. I would go to the elders, if they have elders, and I would present to them. They may not like pulpit and pen and what it stands for, but I would present to them the articles that pulpit and pen have laid out. I would present to them articles that Reformation Charlotte has laid out. There's so many discernment, and I hate to use this word, but I'm going to because it's got this negative connotation behind it now, but discernment bloggers who have not been proven wrong in what it is that they are writing. You can go article after article about Beth Moore, and you can take it, and I would take it, to your pastor, and it should be to your elders. And you can present to them, these are the reasons why we should not be teaching Beth Moore inside this church. And I don't care if it's a woman's Bible study group, and it's all women that are meeting. What she is teaching and preaching should not be taught in a conservative church. And then it just blows my mind that you can go on quite a few churches, well, a lot of churches, Facebook pages, and one of the things that they're advertising is the new Beth Moore Bible study. It blows my mind. And they're not concerned at all, at least not that I'm aware of. I've got another quote from Beth Moore. And this gentleman here, Justin in here, 123411, is responding to what Beth Moore was tweeting to Owen Strachan. And I hope that's how you pronounce his last name. But he tweeted this. He says, you know, I don't know Owen, but I do know Beth, and only came across this because I follow you, Beth. My question to you, how do you ignore Scripture's clear instruction in this case? It seems your ego is getting in the way of your obedience. One can study Scripture without preaching it. So Beth responds, and she says, I need you to at least get the right ratio in your head here. I have brought a message from a pulpit in an SBC church service about 15 times in 40 years. If your track record of obedience tops that, more power to you. This is over me speaking at an SBC church on Mother's Day. Okay, so we have her logic laid out in that tweet right there that she was responding back to Justin in here, 123411, to where she's saying, Paul, I've been teaching for 40 years, but I've only preached from the pulpit in an SBC church 15 times in those 40 years. So her track record and what she's saying of obedience, if this gentleman, Justin in here, if his obedience is higher than hers, then kudos to him. That's what she's saying. Because out of 40 years, she's only taught from behind the pulpit in an SBC church on a Sunday morning 15 times. So she's pretty darn obedient by those standards, right? Now,
so is she admitting that those 15 times was a transgression?
So let me read you how Seth Dunn responded to this, okay? So he's
you might want to put a disclaimer. if you're going to read the one I think you're going to read.
Okay, yeah. So if you have kids in the car, all right?
Earmuffs.
Yeah, you might want to put some earmuffs on there because what Seth Dunn does here is uses her logic, but in the case of having an affair. All right, so just so you have that, I'll give you 5 seconds to tell your kids to get out of the car. not if it's moving though. If it's moving, stop it and then ask them to get out, or at least give them a helmet so they can tuck and roll, and tell them to avoid the other cars behind them. So here you go. I'm going to give you a 5-second countdown. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. So if your kids hear this, this is on you. All right. Not going to take any responsibility for this one. Seth Dunn responds back to Beth Moore's logic. He states, I need you to at least get the right ratio in your head here. She's using her same words. Continuing, I have had sex with someone other than my spouse about 15 times in 40 years of marriage. If your track record of faithfulness tops that, more power to you. This is over me cheating on my wife during a business trip. I mean, when it's laid out like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I read that. I was like, that puts a new spotlight on things.
Right. I mean, I could imagine standing before a group of people being married to my wife 40 years and making that statement and then saying, but other than that, I've been pretty faithful. You can't do that. Seth states this. He says, doing something wrong just a few times out of many opportunities does not make it okay. Whatever church is letting Beth preach this Sunday is departing from biblical fidelity. I say whatever church because I don't know if it's Moore's home church, of which her son-in-law is the pastor, or some other. Whatever church it is should be ashamed of itself. So should you if you still allow your wife to participate in Beth Moore economy. It amazes me that churches, especially of the so-called conservative ilk, still allow her nonsense to be taught. Beth Moore has even stated that when she first started teaching a Bible study, you know, she started out, I believe, as a an aerobics instructor at a church. I think that's how she started out. She was an aerobics instructor at a church, which to me is just weird. There she is teaching aerobics inside church to all the ladies, maybe even men. I don't know. Strange. But then she starts teaching a Bible study. Well, apparently, she is so great at teaching a Bible study that some men started coming to it also. And they started sitting underneath her teaching. And Beth Moore said, well, I'm not going to kick them out of the class. Oh, okay. I'm going to ignore God's word so I don't hurt these effeminate men's feelings. And apparently, when she started doing the bigger conferences and men started showing up to them, she would come out front and she would tell the men, you're okay. Now I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, you're okay to be in here while I teach, but I have no authority over you. Which brings me back to, what are you teaching and preaching? Is it not the authoritative word of God? And I'll say it again. There's no higher authority than that, to teach and preach God's word. And apparently to her, her husband, J.D. Greer, Matt Chandler, just throwing the names out there, John Piper, yes, John Piper, said that it's okay to listen to Beth Moore. Piper said it. And I'll be honest with you, that though was kind of when I was just like, all right, bye-bye Piper. Well, that came out weird. Bye-bye Piper. That sounded better. Yeah. It befuddles my mind. It befuddles my mind, especially when it comes to how clear the scripture is when it comes to female teachers. Blows my mind. And here's what I'm going to do just to back this up. All righty. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Qualifications for overseers or elders. It goes on to say, and what is a pastor, a teacher? That's a role of an elder, or that's one of the jobs of an elder. The saying is trustworthy. Again, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle. How many extremely, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop right here. Paul, how many violent women do you know? I mean, just throughout your life.
Off the top of my head in my life, not very many.
Right. So why would Paul have to state that for one to be an elder, they don't need to be violent? And why would he even state in the very beginning he desires a noble task? So one, he desires a noble task. The husband of one wife, not the wife of one wife or the wife of one husband, the husband of one wife. And then it even gets into the characteristics of a man. And when it comes to the sexes, who is the one known to be violent? That would be a male. Not violent, but gentle. Not quarrelsome. Not a lover of money. Here's this word again. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not... There it is again. That word just keeps popping up. He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. Paul, anywhere, did I miss something? Did I miss where it said she or her? I'm just asking, anywhere.
No. I mean, the only thing I got to say about that is I kind of laughed about the way the King James has got it, because it says not given to wine, no striker. Yeah. It says not greedy, filthy. It says but patient, not a brawler. So it's got some, yeah, got some words.
Actually,
there
I
that,
like the, I like the
that
word.
Are kind of funny, but yeah, I haven't seen that you missed anything.
I like that word, brawler. I think
brawler.
Yeah, yeah.
It, well, then it goes to continue. If a man, you know, it talks about how a man is to know how to rule his house, and he shall take care of his, you know, of the church of God, and all those different things. Yeah. And, yeah.
So let me ask you another question here, Paul, and I probably need to quit saying that because I think I say that a lot and it probably gets annoying to people out there. But let me say it one more time. I'm going to ask you a question, Paul. Of the 12 apostles, how many of them were female?
None.
Okay. Now, if my memory serves me correctly, It was the apostles who were sent out into the world after Jesus ascended to teach, preach, and to plant the churches. And when they did this, I don't recall anywhere in church history, especially going through the book of Acts, where a female was given the title of an elder or a bishop or anything along those lines. And then we spent, I think, about a year and a half going through the book of Acts, maybe a little bit longer. And I just don't recall that. Maybe my mind is failing me at the age of 42. I don't know. But I don't remember it, Paul. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, you're definitely, you know, remembering it correctly. And okay. It, like I said, it goes back to is Scripture authority, and are you going to be submissive to that authority?
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the biggest problems when it comes to the conservative church is the man behind the pulpit who is allowing a woman to preach and teach. And here's the thing. I mean, elders, let's be honest, aren't known to be in their proper roles when it comes to a lot of the SBC churches. I'm not going to say all of them. But even when it comes to, let's be honest, when it comes to the role of elders, you're going to find them in the Reformed circles. You're going to find them inside the PCA, and you're going to find them in Reformed Baptist churches. But for the standard, typical, free will, Arminian type church, you're going to have a pastor and a board of deacons. And here's what I would say. For any church that allows a woman to preach behind the pulpit, the pastor should be fired. The body of elders, if they have them, should be removed. Or I guess I should say the body of deacons should be removed. Here's what I would do if a pastor, body of elders or body of deacons were allowing a Beth Moore Bible study to be taught. I think they first deserve a warning by way of sending someone to them with articles, like I said, from Pulpit Pen, Reformation Charlotte. There's a lot more out there. I'm just drawing a blank. But I think they should be presented to the pastor, the elders, the deacons, and they should be thoroughly warned. If they brush off that warning and allow Beth Moore for her studies to continue to be taught, that didn't sound right. If they allow,
no, it sounded right. Okay, but this goes to any transgression within the church. I mean, we're talking about church discipline here. I mean, yeah. That goes for, you know, if the one of the elders or the preacher himself is caught in some kind of transgression, that there is a biblical steps that should be taken, yep, when it comes to church discipline.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And how is it that you're going to allow a false teacher by way of Beth Moore for her studies to be taught in there? Are you going to allow, let's see here. Who is one that has recently been called a heretic? That would be easy to point out that everyone knows. I'm going blank. This is a polemical show, and I can't even think of. So would you allow an antinomian, let's say someone like, what is Billy Graham's grandson's name? Chavidian? Is it Tertullian Chavidian? Chavidian Tertullian? What is his name? Anyway, he's an antinomian, which means he's separating himself from the Old Testament laws that they really don't, we don't hold to those anymore. You could also say Andy Stanley. Maybe it's Tertullian Chavidian. It's going to drive me nuts. Anyway, what I'm saying is you have a known heretic, right? You're not going to allow his Bible studies to be taught inside the church. At least I would hope not. Yet the darling of the Southern Baptist, Beth Moore, who is also a false teacher, I mean, her Bible studies are everywhere, and women get excited about it. The pastor does nothing about it, and the pastor is supposed to be the shepherd of the flock that protects the sheep from the wolf. Well, if you are a pastor or an elder, and you're allowing Beth Moore Bible studies to be taught to your sheep, to the congregation, you just invited the wolf in to the sheep. And not only that, but you strapped a T-bone steak around every one of the sheep's neck and said, have at it. Have at it. It's just disappointing. Disappointing, Paul. That's what I say.
Yeah, I agree. It just liberalism just creeps in. Yeah. And then once it's there, it's like, to use, you know, a biblical expression here, a little bit of leaven.
Yep. Goes a long, long way. Destroys that loaf. Destroys it. Well, Paul, we've been going for about 56 minutes. And I don't know if I can talk much more about Beth Moore.
I think it's been, you know, said, it's been thrown out there, and maybe people will look into it from themselves if they don't quite agree with what we're saying.
Yeah.
But I think it's our job to put it out there.
I agree. And you can go on YouTube, and this isn't hard to find, but you can see Beth Moore talking about how God speaks to her. She'll say oftentimes by way of vision or in a still small voice. I can't tell you how many times I've shown the video of her and the hairbrush at the airport. You've heard that story, Paul. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to an airport, sees this guy that looks homeless, and she's like, God, am I supposed to present the gospel to him? And God tells her, no, you're to brush his hair. So she goes over, goes through his bag, and she brushes his hair because that's what God told her to do. There's another one where she's told to go outside of a bus stop and give a lady money, and she would know who that lady is. And, of course, the very first lady she sees, she walks out there and gives her money, and the lady tells her that she's about to be, I don't know, she needed the money for something, rent, blah, blah, blah. And here's my thing. One, it's all subjective. We don't know if God actually spoke to her, talked to her. I'll tell you right now, I don't believe he did because I'm a cessationist, and I believe he spoke in his word, and we don't need anything more than that. Now, some people argue with me on that, but again, you can't prove that she heard from God. God told her to brush a guy's hair, man, whatever. God told her to go outside a bus stop and hand a lady money. Not trying to be mean, but most people who ride the bus and have to ride the bus, it's because they're probably not well off financially, or they would have a car unless they live in a massive city like New York City. But even Los Angeles, you have people driving everywhere. The transportation system isn't as great as what it is in New York City. So again, if you have someone riding a bus, I'd say you got an 80%, 90% chance of giving money to someone who's going to need it. And she tells that story. And then she has another story in front of a crowd of people where I just brought it up earlier, where she has different denominations sitting up on the stage, from the Methodists to the Episcopals to the Roman Catholics. And she talks about how she's able to fly over. She was like flying over all these churches, and she saw them coming together. Well, that's not going to happen. We've got too many differences. And there's a reason why we have differences. Some of those churches, or denominations, I should say, hold to doctrines that aren't theological or biblical, nowhere in the ballpark. So there's just a bunch of nonsense. And this just goes to show the stupidity of Christianity today, or Christians, not Christianity, but the stupidity of Christians and how they don't even understand what it is they claim to believe, or else they would not be following Beth Moore. Well, that's probably enough rambling. I don't know. You got anything to add to that, Paul?
Nah, I think I'm good.
All right. Hey, I tell you what, next week, Paul sent me a wonderful article from Ligonier, and we're going to talk about it next week. And if you want to look up the article, so that way you'll be prepared ahead of time, it's called "Is There a Difference Between Being Baptized with the Holy Spirit and Being Filled with the Holy Spirit?" So we're going to be looking at that next week, and we'd love for you guys to join us then. Pray that y'all have a wonderful week. Get into the Word. Attend a Bible teaching, believing church, and dig into it. I mean, become a part of it. Be in that community of believers, because that's what you're called to do. Christianity is not a lone wolf sport. We're to travel in a pack. That's what we are called to do. That's what we are called to do. So thank you guys for listening. I may have came across a little angry in that episode. Not sure why, but just kind of felt that way. But guys, again, couldn't do this without you, or else it would just be me and Paul talking to each other over microphones. And that would just be strange. So, all right, guys, I hope y'all have a great week, and we will talk to y'all next Tuesday. Have a good one.
See ya.